What's up, everybody? Pete Jensen, Rob Reese back with you Monday morning. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Great to be with you. We got our buddy Waiver Wire James as well. And guys, we got a huge trade for NHL standards to announce this early in the season. Pierre-Luc Dubois for Patrick Laine. What's up, guys?
What's up, James? Welcome back to the program. Bobby, how you doing? Our producers here as well. And yeah, blockbuster, guys.
Blockbuster deal on a Saturday in January. Dubois, Laine, swap them up. James, initial reaction, what do you got?
Oh, man. I mean, we knew that both players wanted out of their teams. And, you know, I think with how everything had gone, the situation deteriorating so quickly in Columbus with Dubois, you kind of felt that it was going to be coming sooner rather than later. But I think we were all just really shocked at the return and the fact that Winnipeg pulled the trigger on trading Laine right now as well. But it's going to have huge ramifications, especially in fantasy hockey. It's a massive trade. I'm trying to think of the last trade that of this, you know, caliber of this, that was this blockbuster at this point in the season. I can't really think of one.
Yeah, I mean, the last big maybe one for one was like Weber for Subban, maybe. I don't know, but that wasn't this early in the season as far as I remember. And to see two guys, right, Robbie, that were taken so high in their respective drafts, both 22 years old, the whole world in front of them, you could say, from a production standpoint. Laine already has an amazing pedigree. What do you think about Laine's value going away from those elite forwards that he played with on the power play in Winnipeg and kind of being the main man now in Columbus?
Well, it's interesting because Laine, I mean, I think he's got the skill and the size to do this by himself, kind of regardless of the center situation in Columbus. So I think that's a major win there. I like Laine actually as a standalone guy now, and it might be better that you don't have to stack him up and rely on Winnipeg every night with the Mark Scheifele or with whoever their second line center was with Laine at the time, right? So I like that standpoint. And it's for Winnipeg. I also, James, I think that this is one of those interesting hockey trades where if you look at the Stanley Cup winners the last 5 years or so, you've got Crosby, Malkin, Bonino as three centers. You've got Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Eller as three centers, right? Now for Winnipeg, you're looking at Scheifele, Dubois, and Stastny as three centers. I mean, don't you think now, if you're maybe looking at some futures, Winnipeg could be a sneaky underlying bet with Dubois?
Yeah, for sure. I had Winnipeg being one of the top three teams in that division this year. And I think when you look at everything, moving Paul Stastny down to that third line center is probably a better role for him right now, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens because he has 4 points in his last two games. That line with Ehlers and Andrew Kopp right now, and I have Kopp on the waiver wire piece this week on NHL.com/fantasy. And, you know, they're gelling right now. Kopp has points in four straight. Ehlers scored a goal yesterday in their loss against Edmonton. Stastny, like I said, has 4 points in his last two games. It's going to be interesting to see the dynamic there. Do they start Dubois on the third line, maybe for a few games to get him going and get him used to their system? And how does that second line shake out? Do they just drop Stastny down to that third line? And do they keep Kopp and Ehlers there? I'm interested to see what the line shuffling is going to be like there. But I like it for a long-term bet. I think Dubois is really going to do well there.
And I think it's worth noting with Laine, I mean, as much as we say he had exposure to those top forwards, it's been at least 2 years now that he's been kind of alone on that second line opposite Nikolaj Ehlers. He has not been a part of the Connor, Scheifele, Wheeler line when everybody's been healthy. So he's already kind of been a standalone player. You saw him reach a career high in hits last year, top 10 in goals and goals per game over his entire career since entering the league in 2016-17. So in terms of being a standalone, like Robbie said, he already has some experience with that. Now it's about getting more out of whichever centerman he's going to be playing with. And there is a long list of guys that he could be playing with from, of course, Max Domi, who came over in the offseason, right? Alexander Texier is playing center these days. Even Mikko Koivu is coming back. You don't know who he's going to be playing with in Columbus, but chances are he's going to get the most out of that line mate, I would say.
You would agree that Laine, from a fantasy perspective, is probably more valuable than Dubois, even with Dubois moving to Winnipeg just because of Laine's, you know, scoring ability, sniper ability. When you look at the whole enchilada, And Dubois, listen, he's not going to play for what, a couple of weeks. When you look at the entire enchilada here in Columbus, give me some players that are also going to benefit with Laine heading over there.
Well, I've got to tee up the defensemen, first of all, and Seth Jones and Zach Werenski, both a little bit of a slow start compared to where they were drafted fantasy-wise. So I think those guys get an immediate boost. Pete and I were talking over the weekend that both Merzlikins and Korpisalo should benefit from the extra goal support, James. But I think as Pete alluded to as well, I mean, there's guys like Texier. There's even a guy like Liam Foudy that you could see take an instant boost from this trade. And I think just one more storyline here to keep an eye on is Patrick Laine. We cannot forget he's in a contract year. He will be an RFA in the summer. So this is one thing when he gets back to the lineup. Remember, he's day-to-day right now, James, with a lingering upper body injury. Not sure how serious that is. I'm sure Columbus knows. Hopefully it's not a big issue, but that's also one thing. Watch for him to have an immediate impact. Hey, he had one game, multi-points in that game. I think Laine we're going to see a lot from the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think he's finally going to be given the shot to be, you know, like the number one guy on the number one line, which he wasn't really ever given in Winnipeg. Like we said, he was buried for the last two or three years behind that elite first line, Scheifele, Wheeler, and Connor. And now he's going to be given the opportunity to you know, let go. Obviously, Columbus does play a little bit more of a defensive system, but, you know, you still need that gun. You still need that sniper. And he's going to be that guy. Yeah, they had Artemi Panarin for two seasons before he left to go to the Rangers, but Laine legitimately could be the best offensive weapon that Columbus has had since Rick Nash in his early career. And it's going to be really, really interesting to see, but you know, the residual effect of this trade for that lineup, Max Domi, if he's the first line center, Cam Atkinson, what kind of level could this take him to if he's on that line? Oliver Bjorkstrand, Texier, I mean, the line combinations that they could roll out there and the residual effect of offensive production that could come from whoever is playing with Patrick Laine and whoever isn't playing with Patrick Laine, because now whatever line Laine is on is going to be drawing the top defensive pairs from opposing teams. It's going to free up that second and third line, which really last year in the bubble was very, very potent for Columbus. So yeah, there's a lot of residual effect that's going to happen. I'm very interested to see, you know, who fits on that line and then what kind of production this trade can boost for those guys.
Yeah, and we think of Laine as a right wing just because that's been his primary position over the years, but he has played some left wing as well. I can't remember if it was his rookie year or his second year, he was playing a lot of left wing. And that is something that is a glaring weakness. I mean, center is a little bit of a weakness, especially after losing Dubois. Let's not forget about that. But left wing was the biggest weakness on Columbus's roster. And Laine could be top line left wing, which means on the opposite wing, it could mean good things. Like James said, for Bjorkstrand, who's been a sniper in his own right this season and last year as well when he was healthy. And then Cam Atkinson, who's gotten off to a really slow start. If Cam Atkinson's floating around in your league, do you kind of take a flyer on him to bounce back over the course of the season, you think?
I would say 100% with that, Pete. I mean, his shot volume normally, historically, is up there where even if he's not scoring every other night, you're still going to get some fantasy return with the shots on goal. And I think you bring up a great point. Laine is still dual eligible in Yahoo. That is absolutely huge if you have that player. Now, one funny thing I saw on Twitter was that a fantasy manager has both Laine and Dubois on the same team prior to the trade. And I'm thinking if they have to sit out for a couple of games, you know, with immigration or quarantine, whatever, you know, he might be looking at a tough couple of weeks, but I think we can all agree that this does benefit both teams. And I think for Dubois to put a bow on this, I think he's going to have a lot of success in Winnipeg. I guess his dad's been living there for the past 4 or 5 years. There's a nice storyline there with some family familiarity. So I think Dubois is going to make an immediate impact too, James.
I'm sorry to jump in. For the record, I do not love the way Dubois handled the situation. I don't think any of us here enjoyed the fact that Dubois basically mailed it in to get himself shipped out of Columbus. It sets a bad precedent. I do not love it. I think he's a great player. I wish him the best up in Winnipeg, but they shipped him out west. Get out to Winnipeg. See you later. Let's bring in a sniper. I love Yarmo making the deal and getting Laine back. I do not like the precedent set by Dubois at all. Sorry, James, I had to say it.
No, and I agree with you. And we're forgetting another decent piece of this trade, which is Jack Roslovic. And he kind of, you know, obviously doesn't have the clout that a Dubois or a Laine does, but he kind of did the same thing. You know, he's from Columbus, and he's literally been sitting at home in Columbus, you know, waiting to be traded from Winnipeg, not playing. So it's going to be interesting to see where he slots in on Columbus too. Could he potentially be, you know, like the 2 or 3 C that we all expected him to be with Winnipeg, and he really just never took the reins there? You know, I think he's got decent sleeper value for the rest of the season, depending on where he's deployed. And he can also get into Columbus's lineup pretty quickly because he's already living in Columbus. He doesn't have to pass through the protocols. You know, he can pretty much join the team whenever he's able to. So I'm interested to see what Jack Roslovic can do with this new opportunity also.
Yeah, it never really seemed like Roslovic got like a great crack at number two center, which was a hole for Winnipeg for many years. But he's going to get a chance to play center. They already said outright that they like him as a center in the NHL, and they want to give him an opportunity, which works well with their lineup needs and things like that. And then, yeah, what you were saying, Bobby, is spot on. I mean, unfortunately for Columbus, like, you can go back to a number of different players, including Rick Nash, who wanted to get out of there after a certain amount of time, you know, earlier in his career. Of course, you know, Panarin and Bobrovsky and Duchesne all leaving in the same offseason. It was kind of like a negative aura, but the fact that they were able to land an elite goal scorer of Laine's caliber, even when Dubois forced their hand, speaks to the front office. And I think the franchise is just underrated, perennial underrated team, good culture, Tortorella, the whole bit. It's good to see the Columbus Blue Jackets get a little bit in return, and a lot more than we thought in return, to be honest.
All right, I'm going to let Rob swing it forward. Last thing on that, none of those guys, Nash, Panarin, Bobrovsky, none of those guys dogged it the way Dubois dogged it. Clear as day, ISO cams and all, no one dogged it like Dubois. Move it off this subject, Robbie. Spin it forward. I know we have a lot to get to. Where you want to go, Robbie?
I'm going to the Dallas Stars. As described, great start to the season for them. They were hungry. They were ready. They came to play. Joe Pavelski, James, is the guy you absolutely have to be picking up on the waiver wire. I think this is a consensus across the show. He is the number one guy you must add. Now, I would also like to hear your thoughts on Gurianov and Rupi Hintz, who are also available in some leagues right now. The schedule, just pay attention to this, does tighten up a little bit for them. After they have two games against Detroit, they're going to face a hungry Carolina team. So I just had to throw that out as a little caution, but you should be able to get some value against the Red Wings there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had Joe Pavelski as my number one player on the waiver wire piece this week. And in the last 24 hours, his ownership on Yahoo in fantasy leagues has jumped from 42% owned to 61% owned. So, you know, the secret is out right now on Joe Pavelski. If you've been paying attention, 6 power play points and 7 points in 2 games is just unbelievable production. These guys have come out incredibly hungry to start the season. And yes, Bobby's boy Gurianov, you know, back-to-back goals, back-to-back power play goals in each of their first 2 games against Nashville and Hintz. You know, we've always wanted Hintz to kind of take that next step for the last couple of seasons since he first broke in. And, you know, he looks like he's finally starting to do that. He's getting the opportunity to be the true number one center with Sagan banged up and them, you know, really not having a whole ton of center depth on their roster either. And yeah, I mean, these are all guys that, you know, you have to own. The old guard in Dallas, you know, Jamie Benn and even Sagan the last few years have both been on a little bit of a decline, and we've kind of been sitting there saying, all right, who's going to step up and really take the reins for this team? And right now it's Hintz and Gurianov, and you can't really, you can still call Pavelski the old guard because he's, you know, been in the league for what, 15, 16 years now, but this is only his second year on the Stars. These are guys that you absolutely have to be targeting right now. If they're available in your leagues, you're crazy to not pick them up.
And good start for Khudobin as well. And Joe Pavelski is actually playing with Radulov, so we like that for his value. And yeah, the power play production is huge. And that team hasn't missed a beat, which is something we questioned coming in after the late start. How fresh would they be? How hungry would they be? maybe some bit of a hangover after going to the cup final. Nothing of the like so far. It's been really impressive. They made Nashville look like a team that has some issues that I think we know they do, but Nashville was off to a great start. And then all of a sudden that one game got canceled and now they're reeling a little bit. So yeah, for Dallas, Pavelski, I mean, the thing about him is like 2 years ago, 38 goals, little bit of a down year last regular season, but then scored 13 goals in 27 playoff games. So even in the later stages of his career with Sagan out, this is like a guy that is going to shoulder the load. And even since their season started, right? Jamie Benn went down with an injury and Kivi Ranta went down with an injury. So it's only going to get tougher. But as long as Pavelski's there playing down the middle, they're in good hands for sure.
If you did miss out on guys like Gurianov, Hintz, Pavelski, now you mentioned James, 61% rostered in Yahoo, would you go to maybe on defense like an Ezza Lindell who could get some of those even strength points? Would you go to a Kivi Ranta like Pete just said? Like, how would you get your last minute exposure if you've already missed out or you're in a deeper league?
Yeah, Lindell, you know, I still think that he's going to be playing third fiddle in the defensive rotation for Dallas, but he did have an assist in their first game, got shut out last night. Kivi Ranta, you just kind of depend on how long he's out for, you know, before I make any kind of a judgment on him. I think with everything that's going on with Dallas this year and the fact that, you know, Ben is banged up and really hasn't been much of a fantasy producer the last couple of seasons, and we don't know when Sagan is going to be returning. You know, a lot of these guys are going to get opportunities in Dallas's top six and especially on Dallas's power play. You know, so that there is some deep value there for sure. I think that there's going to be better defensive options on the waiver wire than Lindell right now. But if he is out there and he's all that you can get, you could do a lot worse. He's going to get exposure, but I still think that, he's not going to get the production offensively. He may get the all around production, you know, shots, hits, blocked shots, but I just don't know if the offensive production is going to be there enough to warrant Lindell over some of the other options that could be on your waiver wire right now.
Speaking of a defenseman, there are a couple of good options out there on the waiver wire this week. We talked about Rasmus Anderson with you last week. He's kept going. He has points in each of his four games so far, and the Flames are a strong offensive team, as we know, with their top six, and he brings exposure to all those guys. There's also Ty Smith, who we mentioned on previous shows, keeping it rolling for the Devils, who beat the Islanders on Sunday. And then also a guy by association to the Dubois trade, I think Josh Morrissey being on power play one for the Jets, especially once they get Dubois into the fold, could be a big beneficiary of that. Which guy do you like the most out of those? And what do you think, James?
I think the guy who's going to get the largest exposure and really the biggest chance to, you know, just take the puck and run with it is going to be Smith from the Devils. 14% rostered in Yahoo leagues right now. He's 6 points. He's got a point in every single one of his games. He had a power play point last night against the Islanders, and his usage has been up and down. He's got 3 games where he's played more than 17 minutes, and then he's got 2 games where he's played under 13 minutes. So if he could consistently be somewhere in that like 17 to 20 range as the season goes on, I think he really has an opportunity to kind of become that offensive defenseman for the Devils that, you know, we've been wanting PK Subban to be since they acquired him. We've been waiting for Damon Severson to be since, you know, he's come on and he's really never just taken the reins. I know you guys were talking with Chris Wassel last week about Ty Smith, and he said that, you know, the best thing that happened for Smith was the Devils keeping him in the AHL for an extra season. And you're looking at it right now. I mean, sure, he does not look out of place at all. He's been very willing to jump up in any play, but he's also showing a lot of defensive responsibility. And so there's a lot to like from the guy right now, especially the fact that he, you know, could start to get a real chemistry with some of the younger guys on the Devils roster, Jack Hughes, Sharon Govich, you know, players like that who are going to be with the Devils for potentially a while. So yeah, there's a lot of room to grow with Ty Smith. Immediately though, you know, Morrissey is going to be in the best situation, and Anderson probably short term are going to give you a lot of upside right now, but I just don't know how much staying power they have with some of the other elite defensemen that are going to be on their rosters.
I'm going to counter here and just say I would choose Josh Morrissey. The sole reason being the ice time for Ty Smith. I don't like to see a yo-yo, especially with a first-year player. That could probably be consistent mm-hmm. up and down the whole season. Josh Morrissey, Pete, has been a top 25 defenseman in fantasy in our rankings over the past 2 years, periodically when he's been hot. And the thing with Josh Morrissey, the safety net here, is he does cover all categories. So when he's rolling, he's their pinnacle guy back there. And I think we've seen it now early in the season. Neil Pionk doesn't have the same ring to it as it did last year. Ville Heinola is a guy to watch in deeper leagues, but I think you're going to see him in and out of the lineup. So I would just say Josh Morrissey, based on the fact that I'd like to have a waiver wire pickup that I feel safe about right now. I've had too many reaches early in this season with guys coming in and out of the lineup, and I just want to make sure I know what I'm getting, and that's Josh Morrissey for high ice time.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. And great exposure to not only Dubois when he enters the mix, but Scheifele, Wheeler, Kyle Connor, who I think got banged up, but he's okay after getting a puck to the face or something like that yesterday. So there were a ton of games yesterday. So much to look at. One other defenseman I just wanted to mention, who's now officially in the mix for the Colorado Avalanche, Bowen Byram, made his debut the other day, has played 3 games already and actually played 18 minutes. So his ice time has been going up, up and up, had an assist over the weekend. So that's a guy that I think me and Robbie had stashed in our experts joint league even before he made his debut, but he's still out there for the taking. Very high-end prospect that's now getting some work in Colorado.
Highly touted prospect that Bowen Byram is. And boy, the Avalanche, it just seems like, God, Joe Sakic, that team is so loaded. It's unbelievable. Hey, Rob, I know I have to mention this. You might have mentioned it or may have mentioned it going forward, because I know James and Pete aren't going to mention this. Can we talk about some goaltending here? And let's first start off with Sorokin, who a lot of fantasy players went out and grabbed. Pete thought he was going to be the next Patrick Waugh. He's been terrible his first 2 starts. The team in front of him hasn't been good. But if you're a Sorokin owner, a Shesterkin owner, a Carter Hart owner, the goaltending has not been good by those 3 goaltenders. So let's talk some goalies. Let's start with Rob.
No, it hasn't been good, Bob. And this East Division is going to shake out to be a real tough challenge for any starting goalie in that division outside of, in my opinion, Tuukka Rask. So when you're looking at the waiver wire, I had to consult James prior to the show starting because I am a Sorokin guy. I did rule him out against the Devils. I was okay getting a .917 save percentage out of him that game. As we know, the Islanders do have trouble scoring from time to time. This is nothing new. I would say, in my opinion, you do hold Sorokin because of his high upside, because you know Varlamov does the same thing every year. He plays great for 10 games and then does not for the next 10 games. So hold Sorokin, right. But I would say this, guys, if Kaapo Kähkönen for the Minnesota Wild is available in your league, I know they lost to the San Jose Sharks, but still, this is a player that I think could make a really big impact and who will have more favorable matchups than any one of these guys in the East Division.
Yeah, I would agree with you on Sorokin there. I would hold him. I wouldn't say, you know, he was terrible last night against the Devils. I mean, you know, he gave up a power play goal to Jack Hughes, which was an absolute snipe, which he wasn't going to. He was completely screened by Miles Wood. The second goal, you could probably make the case that, you know, he probably should have had that one, but I think he's going to be fine. You know, the first game was just a real awkward situation. He didn't warm up at all, you know, when Varlamov got hurt right before the game was about to start. So, you know, I would say that the second start he had against the Devils last night was more indicative of the type of player that he can be versus the first start against the Rangers. But yeah, Kähkönen is a guy that you absolutely have to be targeting right now. He was my number one goalie on the waiver wire piece this week. Even with the loss last night against the Sharks, he's still going to be fine. That team is defensively sound. They're playing really good right now, and he's going to have a lot of favorable matchups. And he's really showing with Cam Talbot hurt right now, the fact that that can be a timeshare going forward. And we thought it was going to be more Talbot based in that. And I think it's going to be more of a split now with just how consistent and how good Kähkönen looks. And Jake Allen is out there too. He's looked really good for Montreal. So, you know, if you can get one of those two guys, I think that they're both going to see more starts than we originally thought they were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and I think that East Division, like, we'll add in Samsonov. I know that he's out with the COVID-19 protocol after that situation with the Capitals, but he was off to a slow start to start the season. And the Capitals keep winning. Like, the Sabres finally beat them, but it was in a shootout. The Capitals are in good hands. But one guy I would add about those two teams I just mentioned, the Sabres and the Caps, like, Vanacek has been solid for them, better than, you know, we can make all the excuses for Sorokin. And I mean, Vanacek's gotten some goal support, but he's been pretty stable for them. So give him credit for that. And then Linus Ullmark, you know, was away from the team after his father passed away. He came back with a nice feel good story performance to beat the Capitals. And as much as we like those bigger name goalies in that division, I feel like the Sabres will probably hang around at least for a few months. And like Ullmark, if he emerges as the starter, he's going to get some goal support with Taylor Hall and Jack Eichel and Olofsson and some of these guys that the Sabres got working right now. So yeah, I would look at Vanacek and Linus Ullmark if you're in a deeper league. I think those are two decent ads right now at the goalie position.
I think two other things to keep an eye on in that division with goalies is Brian Elliott for the Philadelphia Flyers. If you're in a deeper league, might be a good ad for this week because they've got two games against the Devils and Carter Hart. We're seeing the same thing, unfortunately, this season, where it doesn't seem, unless he's at their home arena in front of fans, it doesn't seem like he's going to perform that well. Now it's too early to sound the alarm bells there on that player because of his pedigree, but that's one thing to keep an eye on. If they do go closer to a 1A, 1B with Elliott, you might be able to get some value there. And then secondly, the Pittsburgh Penguins goalie tandem between Jari and Smith. This seems like it's going to be a rotating door all season too, because his Penguins team is scraping by right now. They just got their first regulation win and they could get their doors blown off this week by Boston, who erupted against the Philadelphia Flyers.
That was encouraging, yeah. Right? To see that from Boston there, even without Pasternak, I think that team's going to be okay after all their losses in the off season and stuff. It was encouraging to see that.
Yeah, Boston's going to be fine, but it's an interesting thing for you to note, Robbie, about Vanacek for the Capitals, just because, you know, we had expected after Lundqvist went down in the preseason and Samsonov, everybody expected him to be the guy, and the few games that he started so far hasn't looked great. And this is another one of those situations where the guy that we thought was going to see the bulk of the starts in the regular season, it might actually be closer to a timeshare. And we know that nobody was really fully sold on Samsonov being the guy in Washington. He had a lot to prove going into this year after being unfit for the bubble in the playoffs. And you know, now with being out, missing a minimum of 4 or 5 games with the COVID protocol, you know, he's going to have to work to really get these starts back for Washington. He's going to, you know, have to earn this playing time with how solid Vanacek looks for them right now.
And I just want to throw out a forward here too before we wrap up the program. Joel Eriksson-Ek for the Minnesota Wild, fellas, is off to a great start. His ice time is around 17 minutes per game. He's got the exposure right now that makes him a good waiver wire pickup. But what I would throw out there is who am I dropping for a guy like Eriksson-Ek? Because I've got guys like Chris Kreider on my team that are off to a little bit of a slow start. You know, it's like, do I get rid of a guy with a household name in fantasy like Kreider to go for an Eriksson-Ek who really is unproven in his career so far?
I probably wouldn't get rid of Kreider just because of the much higher floor, but there is something to be said about Eriksson-Ek, the way he's been playing regardless of line mates and with the center hole in Minnesota. I mean, if he ends up with Fiala or Kaprizov for an extended period, he could really emerge as their number one center. Has been a guy that the past couple of years has, I think, been knocking at the door. And like, because of all the veterans that have been there, Koivu and Eric Staal and all these guys that, you know, were mainstays in their top nine, like he was always on the third or fourth line, but has shown some flashes over the years, a good ad in deeper leagues. And then a couple other waiver wire pickups, like we mentioned, Kopp from Winnipeg, who's been amazing lately. Nick Schmaltz is on a nice little stretch right now of scoring, and he led the Coyotes in points last year. So don't forget about him. And yeah, I think that, you know, those are a couple of the bigger names. We're still waiting on Kasperi Kapanen to maybe make a big splash, but the Penguins are surviving, like you said, Robbie, even with him playing, you know, second, third, fourth line to start his Penguins tenure.
I guess most fantasy players, this guy is on their team. I would imagine so. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the player I've enjoyed watching the most here in the early season, he reminds me of Matt Barzell on the Islanders, is Connor Garland. The guy is all over the place, buzzing around, always in the mix, making plays happen. I know Arizona needs some more scoring pop, but God, I have loved watching Connor Garland play hockey, and he has improved immensely from last year. He is making things happen. Every time I turn him on to watch, he's making things happen. I love it, James.
Yeah, I mean, Garland has always been that guy who we expected to kind of take control and be a little bit of a scorer. He had 22 goals last season. He doesn't get much as far as overall points, but as far as being a scorer, he can definitely be that kind of guy. And he's playing with Schmaltz on that first line right now. A guy in really deep leagues that I like, and I put him on the others to consider after his performance yesterday, Pius Suter from Chicago. He had a hat trick, first career hat trick, first career goal. So, you know, his first three goals of his career are a hat trick. He was centering the first line for Chicago between DeBrincat and Kane. So he's replaced Dylan Strome there, at least for the short term. And there's a lot of upside there. These underlying teams, you know, the Anaheim, Detroit, Chicago, teams like that. If you can find a guy like a Pius Suter, and he's now going to maybe get a 10 or so game run on that first power play, or even just on that first line with guys like Kane and DeBrincat, when those guys get going, the exposure to them is invaluable when it comes to fantasy. So, there's a lot of value out there right now. But it just depends on who you're going to drop. Like Robbie said, the conundrum that you have of, who should I be dropping for a guy like this?
All right, let's wrap it up. I know we all feel cheated as I look at the big board and there's one game today. I'm kind of scratching my head wondering how am I going to be entertained on this Monday evening? I have no play for this game. It's a non-hockey day. I'm sure Davey Satriano has a DFS lineup all built, ready to go with this one game slate. But anything else before we wrap it up, Robbie?
I got one thing here to keep an eye on this week is the Colorado Avalanche. They have not been able to be consistent so far to be the juggernaut that they will be this season. Luckily for the Avs, they've got two games against the San Jose Sharks, who, by the way, in their win against the Minnesota Wild, Martin Jones had a sub 900 save percentage. I am tired of seeing that storyline for that poor San Jose team. So Colorado, watch out. This could be floodgates. So if Pete mentioned Bowen Byram earlier, if he's out there still available, if Devon Taves is somehow still available in your leagues, it's time to add those players now because Colorado's in for a big one this week.
Sammy Girard, right? They're going to be littered on the score sheet for sure in some of those games. So you're going to see some big performances. Also, Brandon Saad's available in a lot of leagues. And Burakovsky is back, which I'm happy to see. I have him in a couple of leagues, and he's been a good performer for me early in the season when he's been healthy. One other guy, you mentioned Suter, James, another guy with great top line exposure. So I guess Puljujarvi got bumped up to the McDavid line over the weekend, had an assist and played 17 plus minutes in their last game, which ended in pretty dramatic fashion with the Draisaitl goal. But yeah, I mean, if Puljujarvi, who's a little bit more seasoned than earlier in his career, if he's up there with McDavid and he sticks, I mean, all of a sudden point per game, rest of the season, certainly in the realm of possibility, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Puljujarvi has two games so far this season where he has six shots or more on goal. He's got 22 shots on goal so far. So, he's not afraid to shoot the puck this season like we had seen in his seasons past. And especially, that bodes well for him if he gets a shot consistently, maybe with McDavid or Nugent Hopkins or with Draisaitl. I mean, we know that as good of a scorer as both of those guys are, they are phenomenal passers as well. So you put a guy on their line like Puljujarvi, who's, willing to pull the trigger anytime he gets the chance, he's going to start potting some goals if he's playing with one of those two guys.
Well, James, thank you for your insight this morning. You can direct your waiver wire questions to James on Twitter at @jhardinghockey.
Congrats. I know last week you guys announced a million listeners, on the show. It's an awesome mark. You guys have worked really hard to get here, and I'm really proud, really happy to have been a little part of that over the last couple of years, helping you guys get here. So
a big part, James.
Founding member.
a founding father. And, you know, people hit me up on Twitter and they're like, wow, we need to get more James on the program. Wow. I love James's hairdo. Wow. I mean, look at James. How can I meet James Harding in person? I'm like, listen, I mean, there's some stalkers out there, James, looking for you, buddy. So no, thank you, James, for always joining us Monday morning, always on time, always with the information. We appreciate it. A milli, 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 milli. That's right. A milli, people. A milli. So thank you for listening. PD, wrap it up.
Yeah, and a couple of loaded slates this week. Thanks so much again for James coming on. But some great slates coming up. So definitely hit the three of us up on Twitter and the fourth, Bobby, as well. He's got some good wagering insights for sure. One game I'm looking forward to on Tuesday is the Lightning and the Hurricanes. I feel like the Hurricanes haven't played in a while, but I'm excited to see how they stack up. With those are the top two teams in that Central Division. So I guess just a little looking ahead because we have no games tonight, just one, and it's Ottawa, Vancouver. Not really great. So hit us up for your last minute questions. And for Robbie, Bobby, James, this is Pete saying so long. Thanks for listening.